I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on a new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio, of course, I have the honor of being with my friend, Sister Razia Shawani. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you?
I'm very well. So we've been talking about modesty, haya, and its manifestation, which is chastity. We've explained that modesty is much more than just covering yourself and lowering your gaze. Modesty is a sense of integrity and self-respect.
Previously, we said that you can have two kinds of categorization. If you want to look at the topic of haya, you can either look at the manifestation in the different aspects of a person's life, or you can look at who this observer is. Because if you remember, the first definition that we provided for modesty or haya was that a feeling of shamefulness because a respected observer is watching you. So who is this respected observer who's watching you? It depends to your level of dignity, to your level of depth of understanding. It could be random people. You know, you're so, because this random people that not even this, like, I have to talk about it, because sometimes when you're with your family, when, like, you treat your wife in a really unrespected, rude way, but when you're in the society with other people, you talk to her well, you know, or vice versa. This lady disrespects her husband in the home, but when she's outside and she wants to have a very good presentation of herself and her life, she says, you know, she talks in a really nice and respectable way. So people are scared of other people judging them, so they try to make up a very good reputation of themselves. So this is the lowest type of modesty or haya. The second one was with regards to the angels. And we're going to talk about this based on the Quranic verses. I remember from elementary school that I still remember very clearly that when the day that they taught us that there is an angel on your left side and one on your right side, and when you do something good, the right hand angel writes it down and records it in your book of deeds, and when you do something really bad, the left hand angel does it, right? So even in cartoons you have this exactly. Angel right hand angel thing, and it really works. It's just like the cameras, the hidden cameras that are there, and you're always conscious, self-conscious that someone is watching me. And imagine that this someone is there 24/7, and it's not just your apparent physical behavior, it's also your intentions, because at the end of the day, in Islamic teachings, they say
al-a'malu
bi-niyyat.
Actions are rely on intentions.
Yeah, so sometimes, like, there's this person who doesn't have the money to give to poor people, but he has a really pure intention, and he says, oh, I wish I had money to help. And then there's another guy who's a millionaire, and he writes a check for, you know, a couple of millions of dollars for someone, but he does it because out of fame and out of, you know, gaining more prestige, or for, you know, to get a for a relation, for some connections, because he wants to have a nice apartment or nice building built somewhere, and he needs some people to find out that this guy is a really good
charitable man.
Person, so he does it. So that person who actually didn't donate anything and just had the intention, he gets the reward, he gets the actual reward, and this person who has spent so much money on charity would get nothing, because that was the purpose. The whole niya was wrong. So here, these angels are watching you. And there's another beautiful verse that we have two other angels who are guarding you.
Yeah.
one who's, just imagine, at every second of your life, you have four angels accompanying you everywhere that you go. You're never alone.
That's so uncomfortable.
But they're guarding you, you know? They're like your soulmate. And in this beautiful verse, it says, for his sake, there are angels following one another before him and behind him, who guard him by Allah's commandment. This is in chapter 50, verses number 17 and 18. So this is one kind of looking at the topic of haya. And on a deeper scale, the third level would be that alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara.
Do you not know that Allah sees?
Yeah. Yeah. And even if these angels are not there,
and the people are not there, and you're all alone in the privacy of your home,
he's
no one
watching,
is spying on you, no one is going to judge you, he's still there watching. And you know, I think one would wonder, so what, that Allah watches? It's, number one, it's his job. Number two, he can. He's the all-seeing. I mean, what am I going to do? Where am I going to hide from his sight, you know? But I think it makes it complicated when we refer ourselves to other verses of the Quran where Allah says the smallest bit of good, the smallest bit of bad is presented to them, you know, thrown back at your face.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder, is this what you want to be displayed of you on the day of reckoning? Is this what you want to be reminded? Is this moment something you want to be reminded of doing once you're resurrected from the grave? I think that's what makes it complicated, you know? Because mm-hmm. if we think that we're just aimless entities, that we're created by a God, the God sees everything we do, and then we die and turn to dust. So what if the God sees us? It's his job. But if that's the thing, you turn into dust, but then you're put back together again. And everything you did is shown to you. That's when things are going to get really awkward and embarrassing.
And beyond that, so you're going to be shown.
Mm.
And so you're going to be humiliated.
Exactly.
After that, it's your eternal abode.
There we
it's
go.
It's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever. So if you're going to be end up in a good place, it's going to be forever and ever. And if it's a bad place, ever and ever. So this, whatever you make out of yourself, whatever you develop, you build out of your personality, your character, your humanity. So this is, you know, it's actually the essence of life, that this life is just but a sowing ground mm-hmm. for our next
hereafter,
life, and we're going
right.
to sow whatever we have been putting in the ground, planting in the ground for ourselves.
And we'll reap the results of it in the hereafter.
But we keep forgetting.
We do.
And it's good to be reminded from time to time. That's why they say that go to the graveyard once in a while, once a week at least, you know, to see where you're going to end.
Mm, exactly.
And it's not so far from you. And COVID-19 has taught us a good lesson that so many people who were here not long ago are gone now. And you never know whether you're going to be here, living here in this world the next day. You know, it's good to remind ourselves.
And I think that's why the Quran refers to itself as dhikr or tadhkira, as reminder.
Exactly.
And if we look back at the whole concept of fitra, that innate, I don't want to call it nature, but again, at a loss for a better word, the English language is so restricting sometimes.
Yeah.
That innate, natural essence that we have, it was always within us. We just needed to be reminded again, you know? We got so distracted by the chaos and by the trauma and by the glitz and glamour of this material world that we kind of lost touch with our inner essence. And I think that's what's really important, to keep reminding ourselves. We're forgetful.
Yeah, that this is so true. At least it's good in the sense that if we were not forgetful, so many painful moments in our lives that have happened for all of us, it would have made us crazy into psychos, right? To know that you still remember, oh my God, even some women are like that. They actually end up getting depressed that, did you see what she told me? Did you see what happened to me? So it's actually good that we forget, but the essence of life, we have to keep it up, you know.
Reminding ourselves.
Reminding ourselves.
my Lord, show me right from wrong. Give me light, make me strong. I know the road is long. Make me strong. Sometimes it just gets too much. I feel that I've lost touch. I know the road is long. Make me strong.
So far, we've said that haya is good. It's in the Quran. It should be in all parts of our lives. And whom should we, you know, have this sense of embarrassment about? Okay, so what? Mm. What am I going to do with this all information? Imagine, in other words, we want to highlight the procedure. We've been talking about the result so far, the beauties, the glamours, the benefits of having haya, the meaning of the benefits. So how can I go through a process whose end result would be a modest, chaste kind of child upbringing, or a kind of, you know, a chaste and a very virtuous family? So let's look at it from that aspect. So one point that we've been saying that in the Islamic perspective, everything starts from the mindset, right? And we said that Quran is dhikr. It's a reminder. What does it remind you of? It reminds you of certain facts. Number one, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. First of all, it means that by the soul and him who fashioned it. So you are not like, you've been born with a soul and it's been fashioned or it's been designed in a specific way. It's been designed prior to your creation, right? It's not like it's like a jello, you just do whatever you want to do with it, right? It's like a chip that has certain potentials. If you use these potentials, good for you. If not, then you will encounter problems. Two, how has it been designed? فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَغْوَاهَا. It is inspired, you know, it can discern, it can distinguish between virtues and vices. So innately, we can understand that what is good and what is bad. This is in our soul. Number one, knowing this. Quran tells you, you human being, this is how I have created you. Know this. Two, today they have something called relativism.
Yeah.
Good. It depends. Right? Can I do this? It depends. Is it good to live with an animal? It depends. Everything depends. But in the Islamic perspective, if this nafs has been proportioned in a certain way, so no, it's not like it depends. There is a value system. And you stick to this value system. They teach you the value system. The Quran teaches you. Three, how does it teach you? Two, let's go back to two. How does it teach you? It tells you that whoever man amila sayyatan fala yujza illa mislaha. That there's a world. There are some good things. There are some bad things. If you do something bad, you will see the result, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Whoever, the translation of the verse is that whoever commits a misdeed shall not be requited except with its like, and whoever acts righteously, whether male or female, should be faithful, they will enter paradise. So it tells you your ultimate end. What is good, what is bad, reward, punishment, ultimate end. Three, human being, mankind. Your quality is that we have certainly لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. You're not like an animal. You're not like a plant. You've been
favored.
Favored. You've been chosen over the angels. God showed his, he was asking about his names and the angels couldn't answer. But Adam could, right? So you've been chosen. This is the teaching method of the Quran. Four, you're being watched all the time. Imagine you put into your mind all this kind of information, and five, okay, I'm being watched. I know my value system. I know that I have a specific soul. There are role models. Other people have paved the way. Other people have gone through this way, and they have made it easy for you. It's not like where am I going? What am I supposed to do?
A state of constant bewilderment. It's not like that.
Exactly. You know exactly what to do, in whose footsteps to put your foot. So inshallah, in our next episode, we will talk about some of the role models that we have been given, specifically with regards to the topic of haya and modesty.
Inshallah ta'ala. Thank you so very much for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the love one?
Allah.
Who is ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.